Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Simple song.
Praises. Hallelujah. My hallelujah belongs to you, Lord, in spite of what it may look like, what you may go through. It's all for you to get to where God is trying to take you. My hallelujah belongs to you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you right now for this awesome day. God, we thank you that our minds are stayed on you. God, we thank you, Lord God, that we're not falling for the trap of the enemy. We seal every door, every gate, and we thank you, Father, that we are filtrated with the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, which never, ever will lose its power. God, we thank you for what you're doing and how you're moving. God, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you will come now, come into our hearts, come into our room, come into where we are, so that we may hear a word from heaven. God, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would cause everyone on the lines and even on the internet to hear what you're saying to your church. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, Hakararaboshe, we say yes and amen. Glory to God. Well, we want to thank you once again for declaring that your hallelujah belongs to God. I'm telling you, as you go about your day, always remember that your hallelujah caused the enemy to flee. You're showing him your identity. Amen. Just begin to say hallelujah. In spite of what it looks like, in spite of what it feels like, hallelujah. This is a blessed holy week. Every day is holy. But this is holy week. Because we remember on Sunday when I was teaching about hallelujah, how Jesus came in on a donkey, and the people began to shout, Hosanna, 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 amen, save me, amen, amen. I don't want to preach it again, but I wanted to just bring reverence to what we say with our mouth, that we open up doors when we speak a thing. The Bible says that it shall be established. We're talking about spiritual strategies for warfare. Amen. Our mouth is a weapon. It is a weapon. Life and death is in the power of not just my tongue, not just your tongue, but the tongue. Life and death. And the Bible says, and those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So be careful what you say, because it produces a harvest, and fruit grows from what you're saying. And the Bible said that you shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen, amen. And then you'll be known by the tree that you are, the fruit that you're bearing. And the mouth is a gate. Amen. I told you on last week that I would be talking about gates and gatekeepers and the doors. And just so you can understand, when we're doing spiritual strategies, a lot of times it is with words. Amen. A lot of times it is with what we say. We can create an atmosphere as a thermometer. We can create things in the natural realm by what we say. What are you saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I won't be with you long today, but I want to share this with you. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 23 and 19. I truly get excited about the Word of God. Why? Because I know that it is the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. 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 I pray that you have your Bibles, because having your Bible is coming to a fight prepared. You have a loaded weapon. 2 Chronicles 23. And while you're finding that, let me just make mention gates. We know what a gate is in the natural. People lock up their fences, their doors, their gates, so that, what, intruders can't get in, or you can't just walk in as you please. You can't come in the house any time of night because I'm going to lock that gate. I'm going to put the bolt up there. You're not going to be able to get in. Gates. So I want you to understand that gates are important. The mouth gate, it is important. Amen. I'm going to read 2 Chronicles 23. Amen. Let's read 23 and 19. And the Bible says, he also stationed gatekeepers at the gate, with the S, of the Lord's temple, to keep out those who for any reason was ceremonially unclean. Now that's the New Living Translation. Let me read the NIV. And NIV says, he also stationed gatekeepers at the gates of the Lord's temple, so that no one who was in any way unclean might enter. Let me read the King James Version. And he set the porter at the gates of the house of the Lord, that none which was unclean in anything could enter the house. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to read one more version to you. I'm going to read the New King James Version, because it appears to me, one of these versions, are so similar that very few words are changed. And the NIV reads, "And he set the gatekeepers at the gates of the house of the Lord, so that no one who was in any way unclean could enter the house." So the gates would keep anything unclean out of the Lord's temple. Now, I ask you this question. Are you the Lord's temple? I ask you that question. Do you consider your body holy? Do you consider your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable? Listen, the Bible says that that is only a reasonable service, that we're not doing anything so great and grand, but that's our reasonable service. So he also stationed gatekeepers at the gate of your temple so that the enemy had no way to get in. Whew, the word of God is just, it's a two-edged sword. Amen. Amen. We're talking about restoring the worship of the Lord. Sometimes we can't worship. Why? Because we have our gates wide open. Because our gate, not just one, but many. And this particular scripture is talking about when David was appointed over the house of the Lord, and how he offered a burnt offering to the Lord as it was written in the laws of Moses. And he was rejoicing and he was singing as he was ordained. It was the overseer of the house, excuse me. But he was singing because he was ordained by David. And because he was ordained by David, he had stationed these gatekeepers. Because he wanted to make sure, what? That the gates, hallelujah, the gates were protected. You know, when you're going into a club, you have the bouncers and you have the security guards and they have the gates protected. They have the doors protected. They have the entry points where you have security. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 20, he also took with him the commanders of hundreds and the nobles and the rulers of the people and all of the people of the land. And they brought the king down from the house of the Lord and entered the royal palace through, listen to this, the upper gates. We're talking about gates. And I want you to understand portals. If you don't understand the gatekeeper, you will not understand how important it is to protect your temple, your mind, your thoughts, your words. See, in ancient times, in the Bible days, they would place guards, and the enemy would stand guard. You know how they did when Jesus was in the tomb, how they put those guards out there, because they understood that if they could block the gate, they can block the entry point. So they thought that they would watch Jesus' body and it would not be stolen. They thought it was going to be stolen. But God always have a ram in a bush. But I'm talking about spiritual strategies for warfare. We're particularly making a point about gates. How many gates are there? I want you to ask yourself, how many gates, how many entryways do the enemy has to get in to your life? One of the main gates that the enemy uses all of the time is our ear gate. Amen? Because he knows if he can talk to your ear and get through your ear gate, he go right into your temple. Amen? So that's an entry point. Then we have our eye gate. Hallelujah. A entry point. I'm just going to talk about three gates today for time's sake. And then we have our mouth gate. How many gates? So that's going to be three gates that we're going to talk about. I have studied at least 10, but I'm going to make emphasis today on these three gates. How the enemy to be into you, want to be into me. He want to rule. He want to make it his city, his temple, his kingdom. Amen. Let's talk about walls. And then I'm going to get to the gates. So you have gates and you have walls. And the walls, what do? They provide security and they a shield. So gates were the only way, whether it's a window, a door, a gate, an entry point. And we know our past president wanted what? He wanted a wall because he didn't want an entry point. Gates were the only entry point and what else? The exit to the cities. So they would build a wall. Because if you build a wall, the enemy cannot get in, right? And cannot get out if he happens to get in. So the Bible speaks much about gates and the gatekeeper and heaven at gates. Oh, my God. I get so excited. I could just talk about the Lord and his word and his goodness all day. I could just enjoy his presence all day. Listen what the Bible says in Psalms 100. Psalms 100, verse 4. Hallelujah. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. So we enter into what? His gates. When we get into his presence, we're supposed to be what? Thankful. And we're supposed to enter into the courts with praises. And bless his name. So, now I hope you take this properly. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And to his courts with praise. And be thankful unto him and bless his name. So does hell. Listen. And I say also unto thee. I want you to listen to this. If thou art Peter, and upon this rock, I shall build my church. Listen, and the gates of hell shatalavose ikorama. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So hell has gates. That's Matthew 16 and 18. So the gates of hell. Let me kind of explain the gates of hell. The gates of hell mean the authority of hell, you know, which is not permitted to hinder the progress of God's church. But there are some gates. And there's some gates of hell. You know how somebody opened their mouth and they open their mouth and all they talk about is the opposite of heaven gates. See, God's covenant with Abraham, he made a covenant with Abraham. and it included his promises to you and I and to all of his seed. What did he say? He said, you shall possess the gates of his enemy. There we go. Gates. I'm just seeing so much. I am literally seeing so much right now. I cannot be distracted by it. But spiritually, I'm seeing so much because God is doing a download. Hallelujah. I'll get the revelation, but it's for a later date. But hallelujah. Thank you, Father. But these gates, the Lord said we shall possess the gates of our enemy. Genesis 22, in Genesis 22 and 17, in meaning that his seed would gain a position of authority, prominence, power over the enemy. You somebody with authority. When you walk into the room, things shift, but we don't know it. Why? Because understanding whom you are and who you cause hell to tremble because you have power over it, your enemies. So the gate of these cities, I was talking about the ancient cities, they were kept open during the day. I wonder why they closed them at night. But when nightfall, they would close the gates, Joshua 2 and 5. We're talking about gates. See, sometimes our gate is wide open all day and all night. All you got to do is call, gate open, doors open. You know, the Bible says when somebody knock at your door at night, the Bible says leave them out there. No, I can't do that. That's cuz. No, that's bro. The Bible says if they come to your door, leave them out there. Leave them at the gate. Amen, amen, amen. I'm just talking about what the Bible says. So sometimes somebody knock at your door at night, and you be thinking, oh, there might be something wrong. Follow the scripture. Use wisdom. Use wisdom. Because the thief comes at night, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It doesn't have to literally be night, but it could be maybe when you are asleep and not alert because they like to prey on you when they feel like you're not alert. The gates of hell shall not prevail when we're hidden in Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. The gates were closed at night. So gates were places of battle. I want you to see this revelation. Gates were a place of battle. I'm talking about your ear gate, your eye gate, and your mouth gate. Those three gates. Spiritual strategies for warfare. We use all three of the gates for warfare. Amen, amen. Gates are a place of battle. If you don't believe me, turn to Judges 5 and 8. Judges 5 and 8. Hallelujah. You didn't know gates were a place of battle when they would take dominion or rush into the camp. They would come through the gate or come through the door or the only way in because everything else was what? A wall. Amen, amen. Judges 5 and 8. Make note of that because anytime somebody's trying to get through your gate, it was talking about Deborah. And it was a song of Deborah in Judges 5, it says, oh, that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Ammoni, sang this song. And then they went on singing. And as the song went on, they began talking about war at the gates. I'm not going to read it all for time's sake. But when you get an opportunity, read that. It's really, really good. But victory or failure, guess where it decided? At the gates. When someone's speaking to your ear gate, victory or failure is at the gate. You receive it or you reject it, it's at the gate. Gates are a place of authority and decision making. You make a decision on what you hear. Is this God? You try the spirit by the spirit to know if this God, what you see with your eye gate. That's why it's important that you can't watch anything or everything on TV. You can't just order these magazines and think it's okay. Your eye gate. These are entry points that the enemy used to get through the walls. Gates. Ruth 4 and 11. 4 and 11. Just make note of that. And Jeremiah 17, 19 through 20. You can listen to this in archives. Listen to the gates. Because I want you to understand that we're going to perfect these gates. And we're going to put a seal on them. So when the gate is open, it's always to receive what God is doing. And then when the gate is open for exiting, it's to pour out what God is giving. Amen. 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 Prophets declared God's word. Do you know where? At the gates. Anywhere in the Bible, when they begin to prophesy, you'll find they were near gates. Jeremiah, that's the one in Jeremiah 17, verses 19 and 20. And then elders, where did they sit? Gates are important, Proverbs 31 and 23. And I'm taking you somewhere. We're talking about spiritual strategies for warfare, understanding the need to keep the gates protected is important. So that nothing unclean can enter the temple. Okay, what is a gate? What is a gate? What is a gate? A gate is an opening. It's not just an opening. It's a legal asset point, legal entry point, where we legally say, come on in. You know, open the door. Come on in. No, back off, devil. That's my new word. Well, it's not new. I just brought it back. Back off, devil. When you see him, back off, devil. Step away from the door. Hallelujah. Assets into your life. Entry point into your life. Into your city. Into your church. Into your family. Or into your nation. Is granted at the gate. Or it's denied at the gate. Back off, devil. We are in a season where we have to be bold. You cannot play with the enemy. Amen? You can't play with the enemy. He understands authority because he wants it. But it's a gate. It confines. Or it shut things up from coming in or going out. A gate is a control point. You know, you got the gate key, boop, push that button, gate come up. Push the button, gate close. You come into the garage door, it's a gate, boop, open. Open sesame, it come right up. It's a control point. It's a symbol of power, symbol of authority. I like to say a gate is a border, a pathway. I want you to get my point. A gate is a boundary. You know, I make boundaries. So what do you got neighbors and they say, you know what? I want a gate. They want boundaries. A gate is an altar. It's a transit point. A gate is a meeting place. It's our equivalent to portals. And I'm going to do a whole study on portals. But I want you to understand that gates is how the enemy get in. He come through gates. And the gates of hell is where the enemy wants to have you rest. He want to have me rest there. Listen what the Bible says in Genesis 28 and 12. And then I'm going to talk about a couple gates, and we're going to call it an evening. In Genesis 28 and 12, then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and it topped, reached to heaven. And then the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Can you see that? A spiritual world exists just like a physical world, but it's invisible to the natural eye, to the natural man, to the natural woman. That's why we ask God for spiritual eyes, so we can walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, because if you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's easier said than done. I hear you. A portal is an asset point into another realm. I love talking about portals. It's a entry point going into another realm, or should I say another dimension. Dimension is the same thing. It matters who's saying it. But it's a connection, hallelujah, between like the natural and the supernatural. Those are portals. You go from open up that portal, go from natural to supernatural. So when you begin to pray in the spirit, you might start praying in the natural. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. That's the natural. Then when you go into praying, allowing your holy faith or your spirit to pray, you went through another portal. You went from natural to supernatural. Hallelujah. The spiritual realm, which the ordinary eye cannot see, normally cannot see. It includes divine dimensions. I just saw a couple of dimensions while I was sitting here. And then also, you can see a divine dimension, and you can see demonic dimensions. I don't know if anyone on the line have ever seen spirits, ever seen spiritual activity? Well, everything that God done or everything that Jesus did, Satan tried to duplicate it. Divine dimensions, demonic dimensions. Let me break down real quick six gates. Amen. Now, these are gates. I mentioned the eye gate. I mentioned the ear gate. And I mentioned the mouth gate. And I want to talk more about those gates, but I'm looking at my notes, so I'm going to go ahead with my notes, and I'm going to get back, because these are other gates. I said I'll talk about the three. But the gate is a personal gate. Person have a gate. Your mind, your body, you dream, and I'm going to say the mouth gate. I'm going to throw that in there with that one. In which the enemy want to use to come in a dominant way to deceive you so he can destroy you. So he'll use a personal gate, which is your mind, which comes through the ear gate, the eye gate. The enemy will come to your mind. And when he speaks to your mind, guess what he's doing? He's literally speaking to your body, because he come into your body through the mind, through the ear gate. And then your dreams, that's another gate. He come in through dreams, because you might dream something so demonic and you waking up saying, oh, my God. Now he have did a little activation in your spirit, because you thinking what you dream may come to pass. But then the mouth gate, and I kind of elaborate a little bit on that. But he want to use those gates to deceive us. And the way he used those particular gates, the personal gates, the mind, body, your dreams, and the mouth, he want to dominate you through your ear gate. And then let's talk about the family gate. Touchy. See, we must guard against anything or anyone that threatens your family. Because guess what? If he can take your family out, he can take a whole legacy out. Take a stand to lead your family to Christ. Be careful not to allow the enemy to dump trash into your ear, into your family ear. So then you got the family all separated and discombobulated because the enemy had blah, 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 blah. All he does is talk. But there's only one way by which this trash can be dumped into our gate. Television, social media, books, magazines, clothes, the way we act, attitude, you know, and I just to name in a few, know what is going on in your children's lives, supervise them, guide them, guard them, lead them to Christ, let them talk so you'll know what they're thinking, because the entry points of these gates, the enemy knows how to get in. So he'll give you something that looks good, may even feel good, but it's trash to deceive and destroy and to dominate you and to weaken you so that he may win. Amen. And then the church gate. If the spiritual gates of the church are open, fighting, prayerlessness, striving, and division is going to be common in the church. But we must also know how to close those gates in our church family. So we look for discord. You look for certain things. So when it pop up, you can what? Root it out. Come against it. You know, you don't let it go on. You have to stop it at the beginning because it's right there at the entry point of the gate. And then I'm going to say community gates. And I'm skipping around here, but I'm doing this because I feel that it's so much of a teaching. And this is something that you have to study for life. How to protect your gates. Community gates. The light of the Word of God cannot shine in your city, in your neighborhood, in your town or your county, wherever you may be, if the enemy has captured the gates. If he has captured the gates, you hit. So you go out there in one of those counties that the enemy is just at the gate, and you don't have your license, and you're driving, you hit. The enemy will capture the gates. See, crime and sickness and justice and poverty and violence and all these other signs of the enemy is at the gate. Those are of the enemy. Injustice is of the enemy. It's signs that the enemy is at the gate. I heard one of my clients were telling me the other day, he said, every time I start my work, I never can finish it. He said, it's always something, and it's all day, every day. So we began to talk about the gates. We began to talk about early shall I seek thee. We began to talk about establishing the door in the beginning of the morning. He said, if you seek me early, you'll find me. I'm first and not last. Make me first. Well, let's go on. We must take steps to possess the gates. You're wondering, wow, you know, when Moses was stepped in, it was in Mount Sinai, when he stepped on Mount Sinai, he fell to his face and his knees. And why? Because he said, this is holy ground. Amen. Why did he say this was holy ground? Because the gatekeeper, God had taken authority over that mountain because that was his territory. We're talking about gates. And then even with Paul and Silas in prison, you know, the prison doors were closed. But then can you believe that, I mean, they were ordered to be beaten with poles and rods, and but they prayed at the gate, the prison gate, and they were singing hymns. Things happen at the gate. So we have to take authority over the gates in our lives. Amen. You can turn, if you want to read that, it's in Acts 16, talking about Paul and Silas. And again, those were community gates. Know the difference. And then we got a national gate. Now, this will be the last one that I'll talk about today, but the national gates can be serious. You know, that's when natural wars go on at the gate. They got the enemy at the enemy line. This is American soil. Over this line here, you know, this is Canadian soil, Canada. So, you know, you have to know the port of entry, how the enemy is going to get in. And that's why our former president, he wanted walls, because he wanted to make sure they wasn't getting in through these gates. 2 Kings 7:1-11. And if you read these scriptures, you'll be able to study more about gates. But the enemy found the city of Samaria. You know the story. The gates of the city was closed. And they seized. The siege, it was prevented from the enemy from coming in. But it also brought famine and sickness and problems because the gates were closed. So for the gates to be open, the enemy just had to be dealt with. So sometimes you can lock the demons out, have the gate closed, but the gate has to be open because guess what? The troublemaker, they call Jesus a troublemaker. So when they call you one, don't feel bad. The troublemaker. Yes, you're stirring up the camp. You're opening up the gates so the enemy can be dealt with. And when God intervenes, and he will if you dare to take authority. Amen. But every gate, know that there's a gatekeeper. The gatekeeper are the people who monitor the gates. They decide who get in. They decide who has asset, who get out. So God is looking for gatekeepers. You know, God is looking for men and women to take their positions at the gate. Gatekeepers that can see into the spiritual realm. You know, observe, check it out, see what's happening, and then lean forward and take a prompt action and shabak when danger is coming. You know, gatekeeper, a watchman, very important in security, you know, and I can go on and on because this really is things that I like to blow the trumpet. You know, the watchman weapon is the trumpet. He blew the trumpet at the gate. It's a weapon that let the enemy know, I mean, let you know the enemy is about to attack. So you can defend the city. And I want you to take this all the way from you are the territory and the enemy is at the gate. You are the gatekeeper. And then you go deeper. You go to your church, gatekeeper. The gatekeeper must be quick, must be full of authority, must take authority over spiritual strategies, must know how to warfare, must not be afraid. And all in everything I said, the gatekeeper, the must be a dead man walking. Hallelujah. 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 I just say take your position because Jesus have already made his entry point into Jerusalem. He came through the gates on a donkey and he took his place. Amen. He declared that he was the king of the Jews. He made that declaration. And they shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, we worship you. Hosanna, we praise you. Not even a week later, changed. But old death had no victory. Death could not hold him. See, the Bible says that death is the last demon that God's going to deal with. Hallelujah, everyone. Just praise God for understanding that at every gate, there's a gatekeeper. Watch your gates. Watch your ear gate. Watch your heart gate, your mind gate, your every gate that you have. Don't leave it open all night. Shut it down so you will be protected. So that your mind will be the mind of Christ. Think on these things that's pure and holy and of a good report. That's when you shut the gate down. Again, we are talking about spiritual strategies for warfare. So you can't do warfare if you're going to leave the gate open all night. Because by the time you get up in the morning, your gate will be filled with rats and insects and lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. Blow the trumpet and sound the alarm. And let the enemy know that you have taken your place. You have made your entry point on your donkey. And you're declaring that you are the gatekeeper. You're the watchman. Amen, amen, everybody. I'm telling you, I'm excited again. And I like to just thank everyone for tuning in. To thank everyone for celebrating Jesus, celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not Easter, but Jesus. Tell somebody the good news. Tell somebody how they can be the watchman, and they can be a gatekeeper, and they can blow the trumpet and sound the alarm. The gatekeeper is who you are. Amen, amen, amen. If you like what we're doing, I want to encourage you. Amen. I just want to encourage you to sow into where you're going with us. You know, ask God. He understands and he knows. And I say to you, you may go to www.giveify.com/KBDI. And then you can sow through PayPal by going to Kingdom Builders Plaza at Gmail. Or you can give us a call at our home office, 313-583-9739. And one of our ministerial staff will be happy to return your call if you have to be put on hold. But before we close, what I want to say is, the gatekeeper has duties. And the gatekeeper are the watchmen on the wall. And at times, gatekeepers and watchmen are in a combined position, but every gatekeeper must be alert and sensitive and concerned. Gatekeepers are ministers of God. And understand that it is not just my job, but it's our job that we are teachers, that we are intercessors, that we're responsible to guard God's secrets, that we are to be qualified by closing the gates of the enemy over your life. So be wise. Speak wise things. Be of good courage. Watch over your gate. Be ready to sacrifice. Be ready to step in. Have faith in God as a gatekeeper with spiritual strategies for warfare, because when you protect those gates, everything else is wall. Amen, amen, amen. God bless everyone. We love you with the love of Christ. Elder and I send love and happy resurrection. We will be on our Zoom call on Sunday. Hallelujah. And we will be sending out the text. So hopefully we can have communion together. We can do our Zoom call and at least see one another, because, you know, we really miss everyone. We want to say we love you. Have a blessed and peaceful rest of the evening. And don't forget, don't take anything for granted. We say God bless you. We love you. Meet us here tomorrow. Elder will be here on the line, live at 5, www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. Have a blessed rest of the evening and enjoy the gates. God bless you all.
Let me hear you make some Holy Ghost crazy noise right now. Let me hear. Come on. Come on, Zion. Clap those hands with me. Come on, come on. All God's people. Come on, come on, Mike. Come on.